Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Commodity Week, the August 31st edition. Isaac is making its way across the Midwest. Will the floodwaters in Missouri and Illinois and Indiana, should they come about, cause a jump in commodity prices in Chicago? We'll ask these and many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am Todd Gleason. Welcome to Commodity Week. Later in the half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. In studio today, our panelists include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of West Lafayette, Indiana, Matt Bennett of TGM from Windsor, Illinois, and Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services, LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming each and every business day of the year, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. That's right, over on the right-hand side of the page, just hit subscribe at willag.org. Well, let's start with this question. When we look at the soybean market, futures were up 27 cents in the lead option September. November's were up 25. They finished at 17.56 and a half for the week. Dale Durkles, can there possibly be upside potential left in that marketplace?
I think there is potentially upside potential in the beans. The question is whether it's right now or whether it's going to be a little bit later. Part of the issue, the way at least I count price cycle, still has me pointing down somewhere here pretty quick into a low that's going to come middle, maybe late September. So I really question, you know, how long is this going to last here, or is the next push really going to come somewhere after harvest?
Matt Bennett?
Whenever I look at the bean market, I guess I've got to ask myself, you know, until we find out what the production is, I have a hard time necessarily beating the bean market up too much. And I think with the world situation the way it is, and you know, the disappointing bean yields that are being forecasted, the way that that situation's playing out, you know, until we get in the field and maybe see that we've got a little bit better beans than maybe what we're expecting, I really can't get too hard on the bean market.
And Bill Gentry.
Yeah, when we've already got 60% of our expected export sales for next year already committed, it's very, very, very difficult, especially when you don't know what this year's yield is yet.
Yeah, so we are not yet having started the new marketing year, and 60% of that export has already been pushed out the door. Can we maintain that kind of pace?
But the question becomes, looking forward now, it's not so much the sales pace, but now you really got to start to monitor the shipping pace, because the shipping pace at this early a date really is what your real demand is. And there was some news out of China this week from the agency that's tied to the government, Grain and Oilseed Information Center. Basically, the last 4 months of this calendar year, they were projecting soybean imports into China somewhere around 25-30% down from what they were last year.
And how do you, when you see those two figures then, 60% ahead here and 25-30% down on the year, how do you manage to balance the two?
Well, the real issue is, yeah, I have a lot of bean sales on the books already, but they can be canceled, too. or they can be delayed to ship later. So really, when you start to look ahead at this point, and we start the new crop marketing year here this next week, and it won't really show here until maybe we get to mid-October, but by the time we get to mid-October, we really need to be starting to crank up a shipping pace here this year, because South America basically will be out. That's going to run 50 million plus a week.
Well, I think one of the important things to consider here, too, is if you look back at what the Chinese did with the corn market, when they were down at a real good value level, they established those positions and got their coverage on well in advance of a potential weather problem. Now that we've got maybe a weather problem with our beans and South America with the El Nino, maybe they're just kind of getting some extra coverage on the books for themselves as well.
So does that mean, and maybe Matt, you can take this up, the cancellations would be in the offing for the bean market?
Well, there's always a potential for cancellations, but I think the main thing that I'm getting from the fact that they've booked so many exports is that basically there's a grab for protein, and there's no question that China is going to have protein. They've got a huge pork herd, and they're not going to back off on that. And so, you know, in my personal opinion, as the next marketing year unfolds, you know, we may not ship maybe as quickly as what we think, but I think when it all is said and done, you're going to end up shipping just as many beans or more than what we're even forecasting right now.
From the November 1756.5 up 25 this week, but the $17.56.5 settlement price, are you neutral, friendly?
Over what time frame?
How about through November?
I'd have to be more bullish than bearish.
I agree.
Neutral, friendly. I think we need to get a better handle on yield, which is really a wild card right now.
Okay, that's September the 12th, and let's hold up on that because I'll ask you about yield, which will come out crop production at least on the 12th of September. So we've got you all three through November. But given where you stand, would you make cash sales across the scale?
You know, the one thing you got to respect here in the bean market at this point, and this is an acknowledgement that, you know, we probably will have a better South American crop this coming year, that's the huge premiums you have in the front end of this market. I mean, November beans, today we're sitting here at about an 80-cent premium over top, 70-80% premium over top March, and we were at roughly something about $2. So your period to market beans out of the crop you're getting ready to harvest, to me, ideally, is between now and the end of the calendar year.
All right. So you're bullish, but you would make the cash sales between now and the end of the marketing year,
yeah,
end of the calendar
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and basically, you know, you start looking in, you know, is it worth the pay to put them in the bin and store them if you have to store them commercially too?
And I think that this question, this second question that you asked, Todd, is where it gets a little trickier. Am I friendly to the bean market? Well, yeah, I think that there's a lot of reasons that I can be friendly to the bean market. But as a producer, you know, with $17.80 for beans or $17.75 for beans, you know, what's the functionality of me not selling those and storing them? You know, what's the chances that we're going to go on up and then me be able to pull the trigger and take advantage, even though I'm spending money on storage, you know, to go ahead and do myself a little better? You know, in my opinion, if a guy gets in the field and his beans are even close to what he wants them to be or was expecting them to be, you have to be making some sales across the scale.
And I also think you have to look at the market profile. When you've got an inverted bean market with spreads that are starting to get a little bit stale or a little bit soft, there's no incentive to put it in the bin and store it. So it's just as liable to sell into a halfway decent basis and re-own it on paper at this point.
I'll turn that question for corn then to me. So are you bullish the marketplace, and then do you make cash sales?
Cash sales across the scales, you can consider it. At this point, I wouldn't talk anybody out of it. The biggest question is a lot of our guys aren't ready to go yet. So making cash sales over the phone with anticipation of delivering it later, I want to know what my yield is, and I think that's going to be below expectations.
And I guess we're in a little bit different situation because we've harvested at least 50% around our elevator. It's ridiculous what the pace has been. You know, the moisture level is low enough. The guys are doing the right thing. There was discounts for half-price drying and so on. You know, guys are looking at their yields and saying, you know, it's probably not quite what I was hoping, but it's not the disaster that it could have been. And so, you know, I would say 90% of everything that's coming across the scales, if it's not contracted, has been cash sold.
Cash sell it across the scale. Don't even think about hanging on to it for a lot of different reasons. Actually, you know, when you go and you look and you compare back corn to beans, beans are still cheap relative to corn. Beans have a more unknown fundamental relative to corn. I'm not a wild bull in beans, don't get me wrong. But I think corn, we have a market here. It's just saying it's out of gas. You know, and you don't sell it until you know the bushels you're going to have to sell. But I just don't see the venture wanting to store corn beyond harvest at all.
Anybody,
not at these levels.
Do you want to re-own somewhere?
Maybe, but not right away.
I think that until we get a little bit better handle on what our particular situation is, I don't want to try to get too cute with this market. And, a lot of it's just going to flat out depend upon the individual situation, because with insurance implications, there's a wide variety of where people need to be and what they need to be doing in the market.
And we still think it's going to be a big variance between what the yield expectations and the hand checks have been versus what you get in the hopper. And that difference right there is going to be pretty important, especially considering the low yields we're hearing right now.
Okay. And I will say, if I can add, most of the yield checks have actually been, quite a bit better than what the actual yield ended up being, because the kernel weight is not there. It just isn't. The test weight is not very good in most places. Some places are a little better than we thought, but almost exclusively it's not.
Through the numbers, September corn this week, by the way, had a high of $8.19. It's low at $7.87.75. Settled just a half cent higher at $8.02.75. That's the lead option. December, $7.99.75. The settlement price for the harvest month down 8.75 in the corn pit. Can we talk just a bit about demand and whether it's begun to be rationed, where it is being rationed, and which parts of this marketplace you need to keep track of?
Well, I think the first thing to look at is the spreads. If you notice yesterday, the September regained its premium over the December, which means that the trade is pulling inventory forward. That being said, then you come back in and watch your basis levels. As far as rationing is concerned, I think in some moderation, there's probably some decision-making being made to curtail demand down the road. But I think there's a lot more of it that needs to be done.
I would agree with that, and I think that to me, if I'm looking at this market and I'm trying to figure out where we're going to go from here, I think there's going to be a huge grab for bushels once the harvest is over and we find out just how bad it is. I think basis levels are going to stay fairly strong for the time being. Maybe the only thing that can push us to new highs would be this September report coming up, but other than that, it's kind of a stale market. I don't see it really moving a whole lot until maybe after harvest.
You know, when I look at the mix in here, the one thing that neither of them mentioned this week, we had a boat of Brazilian corn unloaded in the southeast. Next one scheduled somewhere around the 20th of September to come in and be unloaded. All of it a discount to what they can get corn out of the Midwest. You know, and I'm talking about 30, 40, 50 cents a bushel, depending on the exact price structure. So, you know, when you look at that mix and you look at over the last weekend here, corn and even beans, you know, we're seeing basis levels give up on this stuff. And I think that's just telling us, you know, this market is really running on hot air. When you go back, and we can talk about some of the yield numbers that are being reported and stuff, but from my gleaning of what the Pro Farmer Crop Tour was across the Midwest, and also having some insight into those same numbers from 88, I think the USDA's got a pretty good measure on the crop right now. Now, we could be a couple bushel difference, but I think their measure is on target.
Friday morning, I talked to Daryl Good. I'll use that in the closing market report Monday afternoon if you want to hear it on the radio. It's 16 minutes. We talk about demand and the elasticities of each type of demand. At the end of that interview, and a couple of these folks have already heard it, and I'll make sure it's up on the website on the top of the page where you've been seeing the Follow the Corn programming in the last week or so. I'll put Daryl's interview there so you can go back and listen to it then over the weekend or on Monday on Closing Market Report. But in the end of that interview, I asked Daryl about those producers who harvest good corn. There probably are a few of them in the northern part of Illinois, maybe in the even central part of Illinois, that are going to harvest corn that's in good shape, that's weighing well, that probably will store and keep. And they're going to think that they might want to put it away and keep it on the idea that next summer they'll have a really good price for it. Daryl was not really a big fan of that option, but maybe you have a different opinion.
No, I really don't have a different opinion. You know, I put a couple of things up on our Twitter site this last week, and I've been kind of following a couple of things all summer. But if you go back and you look at the comparison to how the 83-84 corn market and soybean market reacted compared to the one we have now, we're basically in a window right now where both of those peaked out and they and their tail end chopped sideways to lower. They didn't have, you know, they had short-term hard breaks but came back, but the big pattern was sideways to lower over time, and that says, you know, you get rid of the stuff here and now.
You know, I can understand why a person would be having that rationale, but to me, if the harvest of the grain is actually good quality, then most likely the yield is halfway decent. And with $8 corn, I guess I have a really hard time encouraging a producer to do anything other than to bank $1,000 or $1,200 of profit.
What do you tell end users at this point to do with needs that they might have, whether that be a livestock producer or an ethanol production facility? What do they need to be thinking about?
One of the things is to probably say, buy the significant breaks. You'd need to make sure that you get some coverage on the books if you haven't done so already, which I would assume that they have. The other thing is probably try to catch this crop while it's in motion, because I think with the producers, if they put it in the bin and start sitting on it, they're going to start thinking the crop's getting smaller and smaller, the numbers aren't right, and it's going to be tough to pull out of the bin.
One thing I will tell you in my particular area is that I don't know one farmer that is putting corn in the bin. I don't know anybody. And so when this crop comes to the market, as far as when it comes to the elevators this fall, I think it's over with for the most part.
You know, if you do anything from an end user, you make sure you capture the supply that you need going forward. You manage your price risk by using storage hedges.
That's Dale Durkles. He's with AgriVisor LLC. Also in studio with us, Matt Bennett of TGM. And Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back, and we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This week was a little warmer than normal, and we received some welcome rains across much of the northern half of the state and along Interstate 70 in the range of 1 to 2 inches. Based on preliminary numbers, the statewide temperature for August was near normal at 73.5 degrees. The statewide precipitation total was 3.4 inches, which is 95% of normal. This is our first near normal month for 2012. The largest totals were 4 to 6 inches south of Springfield and from Champaign eastward. The driest areas of the state were north of Interstate 80 and in a wide band from Quincy to Decatur. The big story for this Labor Day weekend is the arrival of Tropical Storm Isaac. By the time it reaches Illinois, it will be somewhat weakened. However, it will still produce widespread rains and winds in the 10 to 20 mile per hour range. The heaviest rains are expected to fall between Interstate 70 and 74. Rainfall totals are expected to range from 3 to 5 inches, with locally heavier amounts in that region. 1 to 3 inches are expected for much of the rest of Illinois. This system is slow moving and expected to leave Illinois late Sunday or Monday. Because there is so much rain falling over the drought area, the effect on soil moisture, stream flow, and lake levels is expected to be dramatic. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the August 31 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Dale Durkles of AgriVisor, Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities, and Matt Bennett of TGM. On the phone line, Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring from Cedar Falls, Iowa. Glenn, thanks so much for being with us. I know you take a much larger, broader picture of the marketplace. Where do you stand at the moment?
Well, I'm looking at the prices that we've seen in the markets, and I think through and listen to what you guys were saying. A lot of producers should consider the fact that on a very big picture, we're probably in the top third, if not top fourth, of the price range for several years going forward. There's a lot of history between weather-driven markets years like this and what the outlook will be, and the old adage I came into the business with was short crop, long tail, and pretty well proven even in the years I've tried to fight it.
You know, Glenn, one thing, and we kind of talked around it about here and looking at talking about marketing corn off the combine or holding it forward. Well, what kind of pattern do you see unfolding in the market once we do have a peak in this stuff?
Well, it's more of a fact. The 1983 is probably as good a parallel as I can find right now of the modern era. And when you look at it up close, if you look like just at the 1983 contract of December corn or something like that, it looks like we just dribbled our way down into harvest. But if you stand back and look from 1983 on into 85, 86, you can see that we had a fairly persistent downtrend develop, pretty much coming off of the harvest highs, wrapping it up with the September crop reports. So I do look for a choppy lower type of a market. I do agree with people who don't really want to store the crop because I just don't see the price odds in that. You've got to believe that you're going to get rewarded for that, and I just don't see it.
So, Glenn, looking forward, I guess, making the parallel that you're making with 83 and maybe reading a little bit of what you wrote today, I guess I would wonder what you're doing as far as sales in the future. You know, it would appear that you're not expecting to get a whole lot better chance to market grain for the next maybe even year or two at levels like this. And so how are you tackling this with your clients?
Sure. What I like to see happen is, first of all, to respect the historical patterns, and that is when you have a drought-driven year of a year similar to this, and then even if you peak in the mid-year like 88 or early fall like you did in 83, your highs for the following years, like 2013 and 14, will typically occur in the August through October window of this year. And there's no guarantees you're going to get within, you know, closer than about 25% of the highs down the road. You often do, but there's no guarantees that you will. So I like that attitude of getting priced out there. I also look far out, and I find that the put options and things like November soybeans of 2013 are pretty reasonably priced. I look at the floors that are sitting out there, and you take something like an 11-20 option, costs about 30 cents today, and that'll give you like a 10.90 floor. You put 20 cents into a 10.60 option, you get like a 10.40 floor. That's a pretty good floor to start with, and we're even actually looking at that for some of our corn because of the relative values. I think you've got a chance for South America to reward the bean market and other issues like that to rebound the supply.
Looking at the rationing side of things, at the current price levels, do you think these are demand rationing or demand destroying numbers, or do you have any thresholds of where those numbers or those criteria would change?
Well, and specifically as a fundamentalist, I'm not a fundamentalist, but in terms of history is pretty clear that these will be demand rationing and, to an extent, demand destroying. I think you've got a greater risk of demand destruction going on in corn historically than you do in soybeans here. Because of, in part, you know, corn is more of a inventoried crop around the world than protein is. But I still look at this whole situation and just look at the upfront values of this thing. And history would say that mankind is going to overbid and overreact. And what I mean by that is we probably will destroy some demand that we don't need to destroy. And so the best news is probably upfront.
Which part of the demand structure do you see being destroyed in the process?
Well, I look for just as an example with some of the meat producers out there who become convinced that these prices are and availability is going to be here to stay, so they may cut back a little more aggressively than they need to, those kinds of things. But I think you take a little bit out of everything. It's a more of a human nature thing. That I see going on. The other thing that worries me in here is an outside force, and that's the dollar situation. I have, back in late winter, I had projected September 1 as the crossroads date for the dollar index and the resumption of the major uptrend in the dollar. I had big-time turns that were projected for today. So far, I'm looking at a low in the dollar index. And in election years, you often see the dominoes start to fall coming out of the Labor Day weekend. I'm very concerned about the situation in the stock market, a very subtle summer high, not unlike 1998, which was an off-year election, not unlike 1987, which was not an election year, but very much so we might remember the crash of 87. I'm very, very worried that there's a lot of dynamics that can go into motion in here. And once the drought is over, as far as the marketplace is concerned, not as far as producers are concerned, like in 1983. Once the market, the drought was over, The dollar was bearish for the commodities in 83 into the mid-80s. I see the same scenario developing in here, predicated on the dollar coming to life actually during September of this year.
This week I was talking to a broker with ADM ISI, which is international out of London, reminded me that the vacation in Europe will come back very shortly. Does that concern you very much when they start to look again at their economy?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. 2008, also an election year, and as mad as it was in August, the crap really hit the fan coming back from the summer vacation in Europe. So that concerns me a lot. There's another thing that concerns me a lot here down the road, and that is the rebound production for 2013. It may be a fundamental, it may be a technical. I treated it as a technical, going back and looking at the years back over 100 years and to look what the rebound outlook would be. And just in a snapshot, based upon those old projections, we're probably looking at a 13.5 billion bushel corn crop next year. And with demand being reduced, I worry about us now coming back with an oversupply on the back end.
You know, this spins in, and I want to back you up a minute. You made a subtle comment here a few minutes ago, Glenn, about the hog market and things that may be happening there. What kind of outlook, what kind of things do you see unfolding in the hog market? And I'm talking about over the next 12 to 14, maybe even 15 months.
I think it'll be a wild ride because I have a six-year turn that is due in the first quarter of next year and a three-and-a-half-year cycle low due in the first quarter of next year. So I think we're heading into some kind of a wild ride, and maybe it's an outside economic force that takes the meats down, particularly the hogs, into that time frame. And then history would also correlate very strongly on swing patterns that after we've had this run in the corn, that we're looking at another attempt to go to new highs in hogs, probably on the back end of your window.
74, 75?
Yeah.
As we had a harsh low in the hogs in the fall of 74 and powered to new all-time highs in 75 behind it.
Correct. Not exactly in the same ways, but some similarities with 80 and 82, also another not an unlike that pattern. So, yes, you've got it pegged right. And the only thing we got to be aware of, we don't have to go to new all-time highs in hogs to make that swing fulfilled. But believe me, if history holds up, whatever we break, we get into the first quarter of next year, it'll probably be a very sharp recovery into the second half of next year.
Yeah, Glenn, I agree for the most part with a lot of what you're saying. As far as the historical levels that we're at are very good. I think they're something that a person needs to be taking advantage of. But there's a large camp out there that still feels like even pro farmers too high on their yield, and I'm not so sure that I don't disagree. I've said all along I feel like we may even have a hard time getting a $10 billion, and I could definitely be wrong on that. But if we do come out here in September and the government puts a 9.9 out there or a 10.1, how do you feel that this is going to kind of change maybe a little bit about what you're thinking? I know your entire picture probably isn't going to change too much, but how would you feel about that in the short run?
Short run, I think what you do is you set up a blow-off event because we get all the known up front. I think that would actually encourage more demand destruction long term. I noticed the Renewable Fuels Conference made an argument that the world coarse grain production in total was only down like 2 to 4%. And that really bothers me. If that's the case, and the amount of demand, let's call it discouragement, going on domestically, I really worry about on the long run that we end up with a surplus situation 2013 and 14.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
You're welcome.
That's Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Thanks to him and to the folks here in the studio, including Matt Bennett of TGM, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and, of course, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.